Slavei Asalam, Volume 5, page 139, Prayer. Our sages in Masechet Ta'anit said, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him, that is prayer. You say that is prayer, or maybe it is only work. We say with all your heart. Which work is it in the heart? It is a prayer. We have to understand why a prayer is called work. Is work prayer? Is praying for the Lord work? For Him to answer our wishes and requests? And if our sages said so, they want to imply something, that there is a special meaning to the prayer, which is work and not just a prayer. So what is this thing that they imply? Certainly we should not say that a person prays and asks to be given something if he doesn't have a need for that. And only when a person feels that he lacks something, then he asks for that satisfaction which belongs to that need, from whom he can get what he needs. Because a person does not ask but only from he who has what he needs. And he also knows that he has a desire to give and to benefit the other. And according to that, when a person comes to pray and ask of the Lord to satisfy his wish, he should certainly have his prayer clear. Meaning that he'll clearly know what he needs. Meaning when he goes and asks of God, he should picture for himself that now he's talking to the king, and the king can do him a favor at one time, that he'll be the happiest man on earth, because nothing is missing from the house of the king. Therefore, man needs to first examine closely before the prayer to know what he really needs, that if the king will give him satisfaction for what he needs, he will lack nothing, and he will be the most complete man on earth. Thus, according to what we learn, that the purpose of creation is to delight the creatures, it turns out that from the side of the Creator, there are no detainments from giving to the creatures delight and pleasure. Meaning that the need that the Creator created, called will to receive in the creatures, was in order to satisfy the desire. And as we've explained, a desire is called torment and pain if he cannot satisfy his desire. Therefore, all the need that was created was with the intent to, by through it, feel pleasure, because the need is included in the aim to delight, as the rule is that the yearning for something gives the pleasure at the satisfaction. As we know that even when we give a meal to a person, as Solomon's meal at his time, if he doesn't have a need for that meal, he cannot enjoy it. Therefore, when a person feels a need and he doesn't have a satisfaction for that need, and he asks of God to grant him his wishes, that generally a person does not ask of God but delight and pleasure. And as we learn that from the Creator's perspective, we do not say that a person prays for the Creator to give him delight and pleasure, because it is his desire to delight the creatures. Therefore, there is no need to ask anything if the desire of the giver is to give. It thus turns out that a person should examine first, when he goes and asks of God to grant him his wishes that he needs, that he should ask of that thing, for that thing of the Creator. That it seems as though the Creator does not give man without man asking first. Meaning, because the asking for it is something that is not included in the purpose of creation, called to delight the creatures. But it is something that is born later by the creature. And because of that, the creature should ask of God to be given that. But delight and pleasure, we do not ask of the Creator for him to have a desire to give, because it is his desire. For his desire is to give delight and pleasure to the lower ones. But we should know that since there was a matter of restriction called the correction of creation, which is in order to not make the presence of the Creator unpleasant, called bread of shame, and because we relate to that correction to the lower ones, called Malchut Ein-Sof, Malchut of the Infinite, called a vessel that received the epaulite, and that receiver, after it has received the bounty, there is now an awakening for equivalence of form. That is why it restricted. And as he says in the Talmud Esel Sfirot, for the upper light never stops from shining on to the emanated even for a moment. And the whole matter of the restriction and the removal of the light that we speak of are not, but only as the vessel feels it, meaning the middle point. Meaning, although the upper light never stopped shining, still the vessel did not receive anything of its illumination, because it has diminished itself. Thus we see that the matter of not receiving in order to receive, we do not relate it to the purpose of creation, but it is considered the correction of creation. And it is an action by the lower one, which wants to equalize in form. And from here, we see that the lower ones cannot give delight and pleasure, although the upper one wants to give, because they need vessels of bestowal, and that belongs to the receiver, not to the giver. That the lower one, called Malchut Ein-Sof, restricted itself. Therefore, that vessel belongs to the lower one, meaning that the lower one will want to receive, only provided it can aim in order to bestow. And because of that, when a person prays to the Lord to give him what he needs, we should say that he lacks something that does not come from the purpose of creation. But what does he lack? Only something that comes from the lower ones, meaning that which Malchut calls the lower one, which receives from the upper one, the bounty, and she made a new vessel, meaning to not receive the bounty in that vessel called vessel of, but only in that vessel called vessel of bestowal. Therefore, he should only pray for that vessel to be given that, because that is the only thing that he lacks. But here there is room for examination. If the lower one should create that vessel, because it belongs to the lower one, that Malchut did it, why doesn't a person make that vessel himself? But he needs to ask of God to be given that vessel. And furthermore, we say about that vessel that the lower one should do it. He is told that, we say about that vessel which should be done by the lower one, he is told that this is the only thing that he should ask of God. If it belongs to man's work, why should he ask for it of God? It is more explained in the words of our sages who said, Rabbi Hanina said, everything is in the hands of God except fearing God. As it is said, and now Israel, what does your God ask of you but fear? Everything is in the hands of God, Rashi explains, but righteous and evil does not come by heaven. That was given to the hand of man, and he gave before him two ways, and he should choose the fear of God. The matter of fear is explained in the Sulam, and he says, but both the first fear and the second fear are not for his own benefit, but he's only afraid that he will do little contentment to his maker. And according to the above, we learn that fear is what a person should aim everything he does to be in order to bestow contentment to the Creator. And we asked Therefore, the matter of bestowal is upon man to do. So why do we say that he should ask of this, of the Creator? They said everything is in the hands of God except fearing God. But we should know that a person cannot go against the nature he was born with. And because the Creator created man with a nature of desire to receive, as we learn that without pleasure, without desire for pleasure, there is no way to enjoy the pleasure. And we learn that creation, called existence from absence, is mainly the desire to receive. And because of that, when a person wants to do something in order to bestow, it is called that he is going against his nature. Therefore, it is impossible for him to change his nature. According to that, if a person cannot change his nature, why did that sage say, everything is in the hands of God except fearing God? Meaning that there is something a person can do. And we can interpret it in two ways. A, desire. We can interpret it and say that there are two things here. A desire called, which is that he only potentially wants to bestow, and B, that he has the ability to execute his thought. Therefore, we should say that what man is demanded of, to choose to walk in the path of bestowal, and he should know that this is the vessel to receive the purpose of creation, which is to receive the delight and pleasure. And if he doesn't have those vessels, he will remain in the dark without light. And after he knows that for certain, and he begins to aim and do acts of bestowal, then he sees that he cannot go against nature. And here comes the time of prayer, and not before. Because one does not ask for urgent help when he asks of vessels of bestowal, which are vessels in which he can receive life. For without them, he is considered dead. As our sages said, the evil in their lives are called dead. Since by nature, man does not ask for help, but only when he himself cannot get what he wants. Because before that, there is a matter of shame. As our sages said about the verse, when vile is exalted among the sons of men. Because a person needs people, when a person needs people, his face changes like chrome. What is chrome? There is one bird next to the sea whose name is chrome. And that is because when the sun shines on it, it changes into several colors. And we know that we can learn from nature, from the corporeal nature that was given to us. It is in order that by them we will learn a few spiritual things. Therefore, before a person knows that he cannot attain the vessels of bestowal by himself, he does not ask of God to be given that. It turns out that he doesn't have a genuine desire for their Lord to answer his prayer. And because of that, a person should work by himself in order to attain the vessels of bestowal. And after the accumulation of the work that he has invested and has not yet attained them, then begins the genuine prayer from the bottom of the heart. And then he can receive help from above. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. But since that prayer is against nature, because a person is born with a desire to receive, which is self-love, how can he pray to God to give him the strength to bestow, when all his organs are against that desire? That is why that work is called prayer, meaning that he should give great effort to be able to pray for the Lord to be given the strength to bestow and nullify the force of reception in man. That is why our sages said, and to serve the Lord is prayer, a work in the heart. And by that we understand why they call prayer a work in the heart, because a person should really work on himself to nullify the self-love and take upon himself the work to attain vessels of bestowal. It turns out that over the desire to have vessels of bestowal, he needs to work with himself to want to pray, to be given the force, the ability to bestow. Love's words. It is one of the first articles that Rav Baruch wrote. A prayer is really the end of our work. because everything comes from above except the vessels. The upper light is in complete rest. The bounty fills us from outside and from within. And we only need vessels. The vessels are not called will to receive, but screen and returning light. That's the vessel. Why? Because the vessel of reception, to begin with, as they were created, are not intended to be filled and sustain the bounty, only in order to show the creature its oppositeness from the Creator. That is why Malchut of the Infinite, Malchut and Sof, when it was filled like that from above and felt in each and every aspect of it perfection, she noticed only one thing that was missing. That is adhesion. Nothing else was missing. There was he and his name were one. There was complete knowledge that there is no difference between me and him, only the lack of equivalence of form. And that equivalence of form was not a condition that was created by the Creator. We don't understand it, but it is not something that is missing. What is that breaking that the creature feels, that Malchut then so feels, over which Malchut restricts, cannot tolerate that sensation called shame? That the whole process after the first restriction is its correction. We will understand it only when we first cross the barrier and see that distinction for the first time, what is between us and the corrected vessel, the first corrected vessel. Therefore, after the first restriction, there is a restriction in order to bestow. There is a correction of looking in order to bestow. That is the correction of shame. And shame is not the way we know it. Everything comes from the Creator. So you can go complaining to Him. All the deficits, all the advantages, it is all in the hands of the Creator. But there is only one thing that we should notice there. That because of that, Malchut is willing to be removed from that high place and go down to the abyss in its sensation until the sensation of this world, the detachment, so that it will finally be corrected. It will finally correct that situation that she feels as shame in the infinite. And that situation is that I am not like him. It is something that is very hard to explain. That sensation comes to man in a last prayer that he prays, and when he is endowed with the first holy vessel. And when he still prays for that, he is still in not for her name. When he receives for her name from above, he begins to see the difference between Malchut of the Infinite when he finally comes to Malchut of the Infinite after all the corrections. He feels what is the reason. He feels the reason that because of that was the decline from such a high place to such a low place. We don't feel our situation as low, as bad. We don't feel our situation opposite the light, the surrounding light around us. Our situation is that we should come to a desire without desire, meaning that we don't know why we have to need something. What is it we lack? We chase in all kinds of directions after the satisfaction and do not find it anywhere. And this is how we go until a person begins to understand how to come to the desire for the right thing. And that is the desire to resemble the light. Before we come to that, there should be a need to resemble the light. Not for the act itself, but for the outcome of it. And to come to that, we need to work to know that if we raise the Creator is attributable to all, or not even that, that He is the sole ruler, the great ruler, who rules over all the actions and thoughts. And everything that happens to me, then a person can bow his head and want to recognize and contact such a high and important root. And because the Creator is concealed, society should give us that knowledge instead. Therefore, our whole work is to come to the need, and that need in a man's heart is called a prayer. Prayer is a result of the prayer, of the work toward the right goal. All other needs will not create in our hearts the tension to that something special called prayer. And in that prayer, there are certain types. Prayer, because I'm afraid I'll need something in this world or in the next world in order to receive. Afterwards, prayers in order to bestow. Do I give to him? Can I give him? Will I have a chance for that? That's the next phase. But even in the prayers, not for her name, when I think, what will I need in this world or in the next world? At least in that, I tie myself with the Creator. And that too is missing for man. Because he doesn't see, he doesn't feel that he depends on the Creator. He's dependent on Him. If we do it, it's just going through the motions, because we were brought up this way. So we do it without a need. But because we're used to it, and it becomes a second habit. And we are not, when we are not brought up that way, or when we can detach ourselves from it, then we are detached from the sensation of dependency on the Creator. And only society can give me that instead. And society can do that in many ways. Either it brings it to him as religion, all sorts of religions, or a person can selectively, after a scrutiny, evoke the importance of the Creator in himself, and he attains such a, not for her name, that from that he comes to for her name. He uses society, the group, the study, the rabbi, this whole system in such a way that the importance of the Creator, although it is aimed at answering, at satisfying my vessel of deception, there is some inner tendency, there is some inner knowledge that a person needs it for bestowal. How does a person know it? That from not for her name, one comes to for her name. That because he thinks of himself, something in him is created, a need is created in him to satisfy the Creator. If he works on a point in his heart, with the books that develop that point in the heart correctly, mainly towards society, then out of his work to satisfy himself, into that work, there is also the work, his work to satisfy his friends. So that when he studies, he searches for the remedy in the study. When he works in that, then within his not for her name, there is still some kind of dirt of for her name, for the Creator. And that is slowly developed until it comes to a great desire, which becomes a prayer that opens the door to the spiritual world. Question. The not for her name that we have to come to in our situation is a desire for the Creator that at some percentage he will satisfy my vessels of reception, and a little bit of my desire to satisfy his will, because I know that if I think only of how to satisfy him, I will have no desire, no thought of him. I will escape the whole thing. But I can do it both ways. A little for you, a little for him, for me. For example, 99% for me and 1% for him. Fine, that's already not for her name. And from that, we slowly come to for her name. Because the Creator is concealed, I have... There's something bad in my life. Why don't I turn to him? Why did you do it to me? Or if you've done it, then correct it. Or maybe I don't even remember that he did it. That's the problem. To remember that he did it and ask of him to remove it. So why did you do it in the first place? Only so that I will ask of him. So why is he playing like that with me? There are many intricacies here. So let's say that a person doesn't know how to turn to the Creator so practically. He just turns to him with a plea. And he cries, help me, help me. Someone harmed me, I don't know, a neighbor or something. I need help. You can help me. That too is prayer. Or as the prayer of farmers, that without even a clear plea, it is still a plea. A person slowly goes through discriminations of how he turns to the Creator until he finally builds an image and quality, a sum of qualities that he calls Creator. And the sum total of those qualities, it changes as a person goes more and more inwardly, as he begins to feel that image and to live that image. But where will it take the urge to turn to the Creator? To sort these things. The group should push him to that. To tell him that it's important. And to tell him that he can benefit there. We see how in the corporal level there are thousands of systems of turning to so-called forces. And we have to do it only through society. Because here there are special people. They have a point in the heart. And they want to turn to the Creator from that point. They want it because they don't have a choice. They come here because that point demands satisfaction. So, because of that point, there is a desire to need Him, to know Him, to cleave to Him. Whereas other systems appeal to man who doesn't want to know the Creator. They don't have the point in the heart. It is not the beginning of a spiritual vessel. But they have some other... Many people like that come to us too. They have something, but it's not the point. It is not a foundation for the spiritual vessel. It is not a seed from which something can evolve. So against that point, there isn't another method but Kabbalah. And there is nothing to give it the importance of coming close to the Creator but society. Instead of His revelation, we should use the power of society. Generally speaking, the point in the heart is a spark from the broken spring. And now it has contact with Malchut, with man's desires, with the heart. For the first time, a person discovers another desire besides his own, the point of being, the attribute of the Creator. So now a person has some inner restlessness. He's not here only to satisfy his malchut, so he chases desires of this world. And in the level of this world, he finds satisfactions. Whereas, if the point of Bina is entered, it has become active, he will not find satisfactions for it in this world, because the satisfaction for it is in the spiritual level. And then he's split up inside, and he feels it. He thinks he can satisfy himself in this world, but he can't. And then that point brings him to some place where that point is taken care of. It's like a magnetic field where everything moves around the center to its point of equilibrium. And then he finds it somehow. It is all seemingly by chance, because we are in a spiritual space. The physical things don't disturb the spiritual forces. And a person hears some rumor. That rumor is problematic, though, because the point in the heart, its mind, its reason is not the reason that we use, because the reason we use belongs to the heart. But now he begins to learn something about the point in the heart, so it brings the hardening of the heart. The heart becomes heavier and harder against that point. and then it turns out that it increases his will to receive. The heart grows at the expense of knowledge, awareness. He desires even greater, he develops even greater desires for corporeal pleasures, but the point in the heart stands against it, but does not, it can't really grow by itself, but it grows at the expense of its resistance to the heart and to the corporeal mind. And here too, a person comes to a situation where he sees that his whole path is a path, a dead-end street, because the point of the heart still remains completely empty. And he cannot satisfy it by pleasures of this world, because the needs in this world, they grow at the expense of the point in the heart already. So it turns out, ultimately, that he stays bold either way, empty-handed either way. He cannot satisfy his heart or his point in the heart. And that brings him to a decision, to a necessity to turn to the Creator, to the group, to the rabbi, and to the books, genuinely, not as he turned to them before, that it would help him work as he understood it, but he is now willing to listen to what is told by the sages, that by the group you should increase the importance of Creator, of the Creator against the vis-a-vis the point in the heart. And that is something only the group can give. The group and the study with the aim. But a person cannot come to that by himself. He must go through many crises. And he should listen to the group and to the rabbi and to the group and hear that it exists. It takes time, but he does. And then he demands of society to give him the greatness of the Creator. And then he begins to work differently with society, not as just ordinary friends that he's with. And it's just a factory. But he begins to demand of this factory a spiritual result, meaning the greatness of the Creator. Not that he will feel him or see him, but to have some image, false image. He doesn't care. He doesn't care that he doesn't know, he doesn't feel. What he cares about is that he will be given that. And then he can advance in the direction that he begins to turn to the Creator, to demand of him, to want him, to be filled by him, to relate to him in some way. Not just give me, give me, give me, but with respect that you're great, because I depend on you, that you're good, because you can give me good things. That's how, from not from her name, aimed at the Creator. Practically, he comes to some sort of to that dirt kind of dust of for her name in that inside it. But that is provided he really begins to turn to the Creator in such a way that he turns to the Creator from within the point in his heart. When a person who has that point in the heart begins to cry to the Creator, he begins to cry from within that point, which is Bina, even if he doesn't know that. He begins to cry that that point will begin to be satisfied by spirituality and his contact, that beginning of spiritual vessel. He begins to create that contact between the vessel and the light. He becomes tied with the Creator on a spiritual path, not from within the heart to turn to the upper force to satisfy myself, but he turns from his point in the heart. That's the whole difference. If a person who turns from the heart is called Balabait, and a person who turns from the point in the heart is called Torah. The opinion of Balabaitim is the opposite to the opinion of Torah. There are many processes about it. If we could advance in our desire to receive the pleasures of this world, meaning I have a heart, in it I want money, 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 and I work and work and get this and that more and more, what do I do? So my desire keeps growing and I'm sunk in it. True, but the fact that I'm going to work and satisfy myself from a source that is not in this world, it turns out that the attainment of that source, how shall I put it, is the opposite of my will to receive. Because then I constantly receive more disappointment, a greater sensation of my own weakness, and along with that, I get the greatness of that source to the extent of the effort that I put in it. You appear weaker because you get nothing of the goal, because the goal is opposite. If you wanted money and you had money ahead of you, then you would receive an even greater desire and more energy. You would sniff it like a dog. You'd be more addicted to the goal, like dogs that seek for drugs. Drug-seeking dogs, they become drug addicts. Otherwise, they'll not search for them. They get them addicted to drugs, and that's why they look for it. The problem is that what you should get here is the opposite of what you're asking for. So you get the greater vessel, but as disappointment. It seems as though this is not what you've been looking for. But you don't feel it as, this is not what I've been looking for. You feel it as disappointment that there's nothing. From above, they give you something in this world, what you want. And along with that, you feel that this is not what you want as satisfaction. That you were gravely mistaken. That this is not what satisfies you. I came to such a good situation in this world. I was so well off. And at that moment, I realized I had to throw it away. I couldn't tolerate it. And there were so many cases like that. A person finishes building a beautiful house. He came to us to the first lesson. He said, what are you doing here? In the house I'm building, each brick in the floor costs $100. The second lesson, he didn't say much. And after some time, he moved here and left his beautiful house. So, that's how it usually works. A person is shown that the corporal satisfaction is not what he needs. There's a good reason Prophet Sallam says that shame is given to only very special people. Why does he talk here about the bird in the article? It changes its colors with the sun. How does he explain to us what shame is? That story, we'll come to it.